My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today. Being a Christian requires diligent service of the child of God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 10 teaches us that to walk worthy of the Lord, we must be fruitful in every good work. The Thessalonians were highly complimented because they had a work of faith and a labor of love. The blind man got it right when he said in John, or Jesus said in John chapter 9 verse 4, in discussing with the Jews and the blind man, how that he had the works of God while it was day. For night comes when no man works. Yes, being a Christian requires that I give God my service and that I work hard in the kingdom of Almighty God. Think about what James chapter 1 and verse 25 says as it relates to this. James says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. James says as we look into God's Word, we learn to be doers of the work. There's something for me to do as a Christian. I have service to offer to God and to man, and I must be a diligent worker for the cause of Christ. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 10, to this end we labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. The churches or the seven congregations in the book of Revelation, almost every one of these, Jesus will say in such cases as Revelation 2 verse 2, I know your work. Revelation 2 verse 19, I know your labor. God expects His people and His congregations to be working diligently in His cause. Mark chapter 10 verse 45 illustrates to us how that Jesus was a great servant in the kingdom. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. But along with the service that is offered, the great blessing of being a Christian is the reward that we receive. Jesus speaks of this great reward in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Listen to the words of the Savior as He thinks about this. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus promised us that if we're willing to come to Him to take His yoke upon us, we'll have a blessing beyond imagination. And so today, the blessing we receive is eternal life. 1 John 2 and verse 25 says, this is the promise He's promised us, eternal life. Hebrews 4 and verse 9 teaches us, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. What reward do we receive as Christians? We have a promised blessing of eternal life. We have the longing for that reward of being with God in that eternal rest. Hebrews 7 verse 25 teaches us that we have salvation as our promised blessing. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He ever lives to make intercession for them. John 14 describes the great blessing Christians have. Jesus said that He had gone to prepare a place for us, and if He went to prepare a place for us, He promised us that He would come again and receive us to Him, that where He is, there we may be also. I think of the words of Revelation 21 verses 3 and 4, that we can be in that place where sin and sorrow and death no longer plagues man. John chapter 5 verses 28 and 29 describes a day when all who are in the graves will come forth, those who have done good to eternal life. And thus we long for and we look for the reward that Christians have been promised. The reward described by Jesus in Matthew 25 and verse 46 as the righteous who would go into eternal life. But not only must we offer service, and not only will we receive the reward, we need to know as well that where there is no service, where faithful service has not been rendered, there is no assurance of a reward. But where there has been faithful service, and where God's children do faithfully follow Him, we will receive the reward. One day we're going to stand before God and give an account for all the things that we've done in this life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 teaches us, if we've done good, then we will receive the victory that has been promised us as Christians. Our works will follow us to our reward, according to Revelation 14 and verse 13. And thus, we must say as Paul did, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But as we think about reward for service, we ask the question, what service must one offer to God? What service must we offer to the cause of Christ? And what must Christians do in this life for God? We first of all must give ourselves in service to God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 teaches us that we're to be a living sacrifice to Almighty God. Every day, when I start my day, I must be reminded that I am a sacrifice. My life is a sacrifice for God and His cause. Jesus said it in Luke 9:23. He said, "If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." And thus, with the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, we learn that we are not our own. We were bought at a price, and therefore we must glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are His. Someone paid the price for me, and that someone is Jesus. He gave His life as a sacrifice on Calvary so that I could have the hope of eternal life. And therefore, the service I offer must be myself. Revelation 2, verse 10, we are told, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." You know, as we think about all that Jesus did for us in this life, His great sacrifice, the great love that He showed toward us, we must be willing to respond properly to that. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, that the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but live for Him who died for them and rose again. The love of God demands that I give my life and service to the cause of Christ. Another way that we can offer service is by studying, being good students of the Scriptures, and studying the Word of God. We must diligently study God's Word. I love the words of Job in Job 23 and verse 12. Job said, "I have not departed from the commandments of His lips. His words or Your word I have treasured more than my necessary food." Job saw the Word of God as more important than even the necessary food he needed to sustain himself in this life. And Christians who are going to give service to God must be good students of the Scriptures. Paul told Timothy, "You need to study to show yourself approved unto God." I'm reminded of those noble Bereans in Acts chapter 17. These are people in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, who when the Word of God was brought to them, they received it with all readiness. And then what did they do? They searched the Scriptures daily to see if what was being told them was true to the Word of God. Do you remember Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6? Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." And how is it that Jesus overcame the temptations that Satan hurled at Him? We learn the answer to that in Matthew chapter 4, verses 4 through 11. Jesus answered and said to Satan, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of Almighty God." How is it that we overcome this struggle with Satan, sin, and self? We don't survive by bread alone. We survive by the words of our God. I think of 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Christians are told to be ready always to give a reason for the hope that is within them with meekness and with fear. Are we prepared? Are we good enough students of the Scripture that when someone asks us about salvation, we can offer service to God by telling them what they must do to be saved? Jeremiah 37:17 asks this question, "Is there any word from the Lord?" Christians need to know what God has said, and we need to be able to tell others about the hope that we have through Jesus Christ. Another service that can be offered as a Christian is that we must faithfully follow Christ's teachings. We must follow Jesus and His teachings in every way. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25 teaches us that we must not only be good hearers of the Word, but we must be doers of the Word. The one who is blessed is the one who hears the Word and who does the work that the Word tells us to do, according to James chapter 1 and verse 25. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that if we're not willing to follow the teachings of Jesus, we cannot be pleasing to the Father. Hebrews 5 verses 8 and 9 teaches Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Think about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. Some were wondering about salvation. They'd done many good works and they were wondering about salvation and what they needed to do. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 verse 21 that it's not everybody who looks up to heaven and says, Lord, Lord's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus says this, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Just saying you're a Christian isn't enough. Just doing certain good works is not enough. We must faithfully follow all the teachings of Jesus if we're going to be pleasing to God. This is why Jesus asked in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Jesus' point is this. You cannot call Him your Lord and then ignore His teachings. If Jesus teaches us to do it, we must be willing to follow Him if we're going to offer faithful service to God. Another service that we can offer is that we must continue to be soul winners for Jesus. This is why Jesus came to the earth. We learn in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 about why Jesus came here. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And friends, if I'm going to offer service to God, I'm going to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. I'm going to be a good example to the world around me and be a shining light for Christ, according to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. And to do that, I must say something about Jesus to my friends and neighbors. I must tell them about the hope that I have as a Christian. Paul said this in Colossians 2 verse 8, Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We've got to teach people what God says. Remember what Jesus commissioned His followers to do? Go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And thus today, if we're going to be good servants, if we're going to give service to God and His kingdom, we must speak to our friends and neighbors about the hope that we have through Jesus Christ. But not only must we offer service to God, we need to know that when service is offered, there will be a reward. What reward is the Christian looking forward to? What reward is given for our service to God today? We can know that in the here and now, there is a reward for following Jesus. Jesus promises us the best life in the here and now. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, we are told about the abundant life. Jesus says these words, I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. What reward do I receive as a child of God? I've been promised the abundant life in the here and now, but especially in eternity. The life that I have now, I can rest assured by following Christ's teachings, is the best life you can imagine. The Bible tells us that when we follow its guidelines, we can have the blessed life. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says that God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of Him who called us. I can know how to have the best life now and how to be a godly person by following the principles laid out in Scripture. Remember the words of 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 21 and 22. We're told to prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and to abstain from every form of evil. Think about the reward you've been given as a Christian by not getting caught up in all the ills of this life, all the problems that arise. Think of the things that you have avoided by following the Christian lifestyle. Christians learn that there is only one reason for divorce and that we must stay married for life if we're going to please God. Think about how that your marriage has been blessed by knowing that teaching. Christians learn that alcohol and drugs and tobacco is something that we should not use and that it harms the body. According to the Bible, we're not to be drunken with wine, wherein is dissipation. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Think about all the physical problems you've avoided in this life by following that teaching and that principle. Christians learn that to serve God, we must give our best in this area, and when we do, we can know that the best life possible has been afforded to us. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Christians can rest assured that they are living the best life, the only way possible to have true happiness in this life. You know, one of the great rewards we receive today is the joy and the peace that fills our life from becoming a Christian. Think of the joy we have now. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 that this joy is something that we have available to us. Paul would say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. The blessing and the reward we receive is the joy that we have in the here and now, knowing our sins have been washed away, knowing that we have a second chance in this life. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We not only have joy, we have great peace in this life. Jesus came into this world to bring peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 describes Him as the Prince of Peace. When He came into the world, the angels sang, peace on earth and goodwill toward men, Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. And today we have access to this joy and peace. We can sing and be happy because we have the Christian principles in our life. Remember Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Here are Paul and Silas, and they're in prison. And you might think that they are down in the dumps. They think that God has left and abandoned them there. That's not the case at all. They're singing and praying to God, and the prisoners are listening to them. And so today we can rejoice and have joy even in trials. Acts chapter 5 is a perfect example of this. Here are Peter and John. They've just been beaten because they spoke in the name of Jesus when they were told not to. And the Bible tells us in chapter 5, verses 41 and 42, that they went on their way rejoicing, counting themselves because they'd been counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. Christians can do the same thing today. James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 2, to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience. We can count it a joy when we have trials even, because as Christians, those joys can make us, or those trials can make us better in our faith. A reward that means the most to us today is our triumph over death. What reward does the Christian have after this life is over? When we die, we know that death is not the end, and that death will bring us home to Almighty God. Revelation 14, verse 13 teaches us, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. How does the Christian view death? Not as something bad, not as something evil, but as a blessing. That's how the Bible describes our death. Why? Because 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 through 57 teaches us that Satan and death can no longer have a sting on us. It can no longer have a stranglehold, as it were, on us, because Jesus has defeated death. And so today, we can also defeat death. Think of the great words of Psalm 116 and verse 15. Here the psalmist exults in the saints who have died, and he says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. How does God view death? It's something that is precious. When one of His children comes home, He rejoices over that. And so today, we can rejoice even in our death. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29 teaches us, there's a day coming when all who are in the grave will one day come forth, those who have done good to eternal life. Do you remember the words of Jesus in John chapter 11? Verse 25 and 26, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, if you die, you're not really going to die, because through Him we can have the resurrection. Another great reward that the Christian is given is the eternal bliss of heaven. Friends, there's no greater reward in all the world than to know that after this life, I can leave and go and be with the Father. I can live with Him in heaven, that wonderful place of bliss. It's described as a place of rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. Not like the Canaan rest, which ended. Not like the Sabbath rest, which God took on the seventh day when He rested from His works of creation. There remains a rest today for the people of God in heaven itself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 describes how that one day Christ will come back. He will claim His own. We will be caught up in the air with Him and we'll always be with the Lord. And thus we have every reason to rejoice in this. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, that we don't look for earthly treasures. We look not at the earthly and the temporal, but we focus on the eternal things, the heavenly home that we've been promised. And so today, we have the reward of one day living with God for all eternity in heaven itself. But friends, how can we make sure that we don't lose this reward? Yes, we've been given our reward. If service has been offered, there is a reward to receive, but we can lose that reward. What can we do to make sure we don't lose our heavenly reward? The first thing is to realize that if we're not careful, we can lose the reward even when years of service have been offered. Someone may be a Christian for 20, 30, 50 years, and by sin, they could lose that reward at the end of their life. And so knowing that we can lose the reward ought to help us remain faithful. It's not the case that Christians can't fall from grace. In fact, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that we can fall from grace. Paul said in Galatians 5, verse 4, you have become severed from Christ. He teaches these people, you've become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, notice these words. You have fallen from grace. Friends, in the exact terminology that some use today to say that we can't fall from grace, Paul told Christians, Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that they had fallen from grace by trying to go back to the old law. And thus, we can lose our reward if we're not careful. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12 says that we've got to take heed lest we also fall. The greatest example of one losing his reward is found in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Here is Simon, and Simon has just obeyed the gospel. He's formerly been a magician, a fake one at that. He had no real magic. It was all tricks to the eye. But then he sees the apostles with the gifts of the Holy Spirit perform real miracles. And he tries to buy this gift with money. And Peter tells him, you're in the gall of iniquity, the bond of sin. And he tells him, your money is going to perish with you. You see, Simon could lose his soul. It was going to be lost with his money because if he did not repent, as he was told, he would be lost for all eternity. And so today, if people are not careful, they can lose their salvation, lose their reward. How can we make sure that we do not lose our reward? Let's be sure that we don't get the retirement mentality. Let's make sure that we stay faithful all the days of our life. Revelation 2 verse 10 says, be faithful unto death and you'll receive the crown of life. Let's make sure that we continue to follow Jesus every day of our life. Jesus said it is a daily responsibility. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Every day of my life, I have got to strive diligently to live for Jesus and to give my best for Him and His cause. And also, we can make sure we don't lose our reward by realizing that our work is not in vain. The things that I've done in this life for Christ, those are not in vain. Those are things that help me as a Christian, are going to help me get to heaven as well. Think again about Revelation 14, verse 13. John records these words to suffering saints, and he says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. The things that I do in this life are going to follow me toward heaven itself. And so what I've done for Christ has been worthwhile. That's why 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. Job asked the question in Job chapter 14, verse 14. If a man dies, shall he live again? We learn that for Christians, the answer is yes. If we die as a faithful child of God, we're going to live again with Jesus. We're going to live on the other side in heaven itself. And thus, we must be faithful unto death. And then the Lord will give us the crown of life. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Friend, are you on the Lord's side? Have you obeyed the gospel? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? If not, we're begging and pleading with you today to become a Christian. Nothing more, just simply a Christian. Acts chapter 11, verse 26 tells us that they were called Christians first in Antioch. What must one do to become a Christian, to receive the reward when service is offered? You must first listen very carefully to the Word of God found in the Bible. You've got to study the Scriptures, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. You've got to study them for yourself and see what God has to say on the matter of salvation. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Once you have heard God's Word and studied the Scriptures, then you must believe in that message. You must believe that Jesus is the only way to receive salvation. Jesus has already taught us that if we're not willing to believe in Him, we cannot be saved. He is the author of eternal salvation. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Then I've got to be willing to repent and change my life. I must confess Jesus as my Savior, as the Son of God, and I must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins. Galatians 3:27 teaches us that to get into Christ, we must be baptized into His body. In His body is where salvation is found. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. And so, yes, I must be baptized into the body of Christ. And then I must offer service to God. I must live faithful to Him every day, knowing that there is a reward set for me. That reward is heaven itself. Friend, don't you want to go to heaven? We want you to go to heaven. God wants you to go to heaven. But to do so, you must give your life to God each and every day. We're praying that you will do just that.